There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's talk to John Defterios, who joins us on the line from Abu Dhabi. John, I should say, I haven't spoken to you since before the new year and the festive period, so a very happy new year to you.
Thank you. You've been traveling. I've been traveling. And tonight I'm outside the Madaraz Sadiat, where we're doing a celebration linked to Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week. So there's all kinds of activity out here. Linked to that.
It's a very busy time for you, I know, the whole weekend. So oil, gas, renewables, Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week. Bring us up to speed, John, to start, if you would.
Well, I think, you know, we talked about this last year because I'm pretty much involved with everything from the Atlantic Council, which happens Friday, Saturday, through the World Future Energy Summit, which comes under this umbrella of Sustainability Week. So today was the Renewable Energy Agency Arena.
Yeah.
Had their two-day assembly. So there's a lot of debate going on. And what's evolved over the last year, which I think is the most pertinent message to send, is that it's advanced incredibly. And I'll tell you why. People are now talking about the great energy transformation, including the fact that it'll be my panel in Davos. So this is something that's kind of been led by the narrative of the UAE, kind of in the sand debate here in the desert, and it's going to go to the mountains of Davos. The reason it is building so much momentum is that the cost of solar energy and the cost of wind energy are dropping so dramatically. It's incredible. I was just looking at the numbers in preparation for our segment tonight, and we're looking at a cost drop of about 70% between 2010 and 2017. It's radical, and we see similar numbers in the wind space as well. So people have said before, oh, that's nice that you're all trying to be green, but the cost of generating this power is so expensive, it's not realistic. Then we say, you know, gas, natural gas is the transition fuel that bridges us from oil to gas, then going into renewables. Gas prices are coming down as well. So this is sparking a huge boom in investment. But just in the renewable space alone, Tim and Claire, we're looking at close to $300 billion a year over the last 5 years. So what, $1.5 trillion? And it's matching, and in some cases, depending on the year, surpassing what we're seeing going into fossil fuel investment on new projects. So it's a radical change because the prices are coming down and people are embracing it because of the Paris Agreement.
Talking of fossil fuels, John, you've chaired sessions with the Minister of Energy for the UAE, Secretary General of OPEC, the Minister of Petroleum of Nigeria. What was their view on the ride briefly last week of oil to $70?
Yeah, it's almost like the cat who ate the rat, right? They're all pretty smiling because they weren't expecting this rally. First and foremost, Claire, the first week or two of 2018, let's remind our listeners, they came off of that agreement at OPEC at the end of November to roll over this OPEC, non-OPEC agreement to the end of 2018. Now, the big question, and I think, the biggest takeaway from this, is that players like Suhail Mazrui, who's the Minister of Energy here in the UAE, who's also the rotating president of OPEC, and the OPEC Secretary General, even the Nigerians are trying to boost their production because of the conflicts that undermined them in 2017, are very eager to maintain the agreement through all of 2018. You know, the Russians were big players. They have this kind of partnership with Saudi Arabia to have the agreement. We're saying, look, if you get to $70 a barrel and we keep this price up for a while, we should rethink our strategy and perhaps in the first half of 2018 ease our way out of it in the second half of the year. Well, the message here from the UAE and Minister Mazrui is like, we're not going to panic because prices are on the rise. We're going to monitor what the market looks like, but we think that it's going to take until the second half of the year to rebalance all this excess oil that's been in the market. But that rebalancing is happening faster than people expected. In the United States, there's like an extra 100 million barrels of oil that they would like to see eaten up and drawn down, and that'll balance the market. They think stabilize the price at $60, $65, $70 a barrel. But the message this weekend was we don't want to panic, overreact, and get out of the agreement just as the U.S. production is starting to rise again. And I think that's an extra very interesting narrative out of this, to be honest with you, too, is that U.S. production is going to rise quite a bit this year. It'll challenge that OPEC, non-OPEC agreement.
John, for the last couple of days, you've been at the IRENA Assembly, the International Renewable Energy Agency Assembly, really looking at renewables. In your view, any changes in the last 12 months or so?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Today we debated electrification of mobility, and you hear some very startling numbers and then startling projects that are underway that you never hear of unless you're in a debate like that, Tim. So number one, Germany was a little bit slow getting to electric cars, right? BMW wasn't embracing it, and Volkswagen and Audi, a little bit saying, look, the love of the car and speed and the power of these engines, the combustion engines, it's too early to start calling it a transition. Then you hear figures today of other companies that are working on the electric car market in Germany and in the rest of Europe right now. It's projecting by 2035 that 25 to 30% of the fleet in Germany alone will be electric cars. That's radical. I mean, we're looking at less than 1% today. You're suggesting that a quarter of the market in about 15 to 18 years will be electric cars. There's a major project that's taking place in the north of Europe with four countries now building the grid for electric vehicles. And what I mean by that is making sure there are charging stations, make sure there's going to be lanes for electric cars, making sure that the grid of electricity in these countries can manage the surge of demand that's going to come from it. Then I was making the comment in the UK, look, for example, my wife and the children are in Wimbledon full-time now. I saw only two charging stations. And they said, well, yes, Wimbledon's a little bit slow to take it up, but there's 10,000 charging stations in the UK now, and they're just getting started. So I don't think we can rule it out. Some are suggesting, look, oh, electric demand for cars, don't expect this transition until 2040. And some are saying at the conference, and this is where the debate is, the tipping point is going to be in 2020. So probably in between this 2030 period, we won't recognize transportation. That was the message I got today. And some of the Europeans that were on the roundtable, which I thought was fascinating, were suggesting that the autonomous vehicle is going to come much faster than we think. And they're talking about taking a smartphone, opening your smartphone, ordering your autonomous vehicle, it comes to your house and takes you to your destination. You never drive the darn thing. It's a different car every time. There's going to be a fleet of autonomous cars. And this is, you know, Dubai is a smart city. They're thinking in that way. And it's amazing. I hope we can all live in this lifetime where this change is so radical, but for efficiency. And also, we can't forget because of the climate as well at the same time.
You are all kind of used to the pods at Mazda, for example, something along those lines. It's been
unbelievable, Tim. Yeah, but I think pervasive is what they're talking about. This is going to be part of our normal life if you manage the transition. We had somebody from the European Union was talking about you got to make sure that the kind of legislative framework is in place to make sure it works, right? You can't just have these pie-in-the-sky ideas if your electronic or electric grid can't handle it. So is it going to be gas behind the electric grid going forward? Is it going to be solar behind the grid? Is it going to be wind behind the grid? The answer is all of those, right? But we want those that emit the least amount. And you save the oil, and this is the good news for the Gulf producers, you save the oil for the high-value added products. Go downstream, right? You need oil into plastics and oil into the modular screens that we see, the big screens for television sets and the big video screens you see in malls and the rest. They should go high-end as possible, save your most precious resource for that, and let's try to get mobility driven by natural gas and then solar and this electric power driven by wind, which the prices have come down quite radically.
John Defterios is at IRENA, the International Renewable Energy Agency. Busy week ahead, John, no doubt, at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, but always appreciate your thoughts. Thanks for coming.
You guys take care. Thanks.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.